You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, July 22nd, 2024. Grandpa Dan streaming with you at RadioAlbion.com, kicking off another Monday and another Monday. Boy, what a Monday it is. Before we get into it, as always, I know you get tired of hearing it. Bear with me, though. We continue to have our Sven Longshank sport links here on the page for the Daily Nationalist. Continue soldiering on. Continue dropping those notes, those emails. This is what perseverance and sticking with it and all of that, this is where it all comes in. I know you get tired of it and you're probably tired of me bringing it up. I refuse to forget my friend while he's locked up and look forward to the day he gets out. We're going to continue to support him. He continues to go through this very difficult time, and it's not very difficult for us to drop him emails or postcards or whatever, and it means the world to him. Remember, for people that are locked up in jail like that, what little contact they get, you know, this connection with the outside world has to come from us. And even if it's just talking about mundane things or whatever, it's still a connection to the outside world. So once again, I continue to encourage y'all to do this. And I know it means a lot to them, and I do appreciate all of you who have continued to do it. Well, the hits just keep on coming. I'm not going to quote a singular news story and put up here on today's topic, because there's countless news stories on this topic. And that, of course, is the latest. We do just last Monday, we had the whole Trump assassination thing. And now this week, we've got the Biden withdrawing his candidacy, stepping down from running for re-election. So we've got a lot to talk about. I mean, the Monday Daily Nationalist, you know, we're not missing any beats with as far as subject matter goes. Now, as we get off into this, my overall take, just looking at all of this in a big picture way, my overall take is, just imagine, as I see all of this playing out, we just finished up last week, we had the Republican convention last week, right after the Trump attempted assassination thing, and now this Biden thing, and I look at all of these things together, and I was sitting here watching the news gush on about how important this story is, while, as they are wont to do, continuing to mold a narrative, feed people misdirection. And I just sat there and I'm thinking to myself, watching this, I'm thinking to myself, imagine being these people who actually believe all of this, that believe that all of this is somehow real. And when I say real, I mean that this is somehow just real in the sense of how it is being presented to them. For instance, after the debate debacle, you know, Biden went out and did a campaign rally, and they had these people there in the audience, and Biden's like, I'm in it, I'm going to continue in it, and we're gonna win. And those people, yeah, 4 more years. Go, Joe. How do they feel today? I mean, imagine being there and actually being one of these people that believe all that. And then now, just like a switch, you have to turn that off. As I pointed out before, many of us have been pointing out Joe Biden's degraded mental state for years now, and the media continued to hand wave and dismiss us all as crazy conspiracy theorists of the right wing. And then after the debate, all of a sudden that went away. They always want you to forget it. These people are zero history people. They want you every day to think time just started today and that what happened yesterday didn't happen, because they lie continually they require this. This is a requirement. If you have a running view of things leading up to this, you start to question the narratives that they sculpt, the marketing that they're feeding you. We were all dismissed as crazy crackpot right-wing conspiracy theorists for even hinting that Joe Biden isn't banging on all eight cylinders, isn't completely as sharp as he was 50 years ago. And yet, with the debate debacle, they all had to start kind of admitting that we were right without actually admitting we were right. They acted like they had the nerve to act as though this was some brand new revelation and nobody had any idea. Except many of us were pointing this out and have been pointing this out for quite some time. At a Republican convention, all these people out there cheering. And Donald Trump, from what little I didn't watch it, I'm not participating in this. But you know, from the clips I saw, well, you remember back in 2016, the energy that Trump brought. That's why a lot of people were enthusiastic. A lot of us supported it. We were enthusiastic. And it just wasn't there. Now, you could say, well, yeah, I mean, he's 8 years older now. When you get that far along in age, you're not going to have that amount of energy. And that's true. On any level, that is true. But it looked, from what clips I saw, it looked to be beyond that. You know, he himself looked like he's degraded. Almost some people described it as he looked depressed. And I'm going to get into that here in just a minute, why I think that's not entirely inaccurate. Trump, I'll go back to the Trump thing. I was going to move back to the Biden thing, but let's stick with the Trump topic for just a minute. I've been saying for some time now, regular listeners know, I've been saying for some time now that what we've been watching playing out for months, if not longer, with this campaign is Trump making a deal. I've said what you're watching is Trump publicly negotiating a deal. Time and again, I've said people need to remember his book, The Art of the Deal. Trump is a deal maker. Trump isn't stupid. He knows the election was stolen in 2020. Why is he running again? If he knows it was stolen, they're just going to steal it again, right? So what's the point? And I've said that he's making a deal. That you're watching a public negotiation because people don't usually roll. You know, of all of us, we're not running in the circles that people like Trump run in. So we don't know what these negotiations look like. The closest most average people come to a negotiation like this is if you're like buying a new car and you're trying to negotiate the price. You know, high stakes negotiations, people don't even fathom that. People can't wrap their minds around it. And what we have been witnessing for months is this is a public negotiation. And what I've said, and I think this is more relevant, we're going to get back to the assassination topic here in just a second. But what I think is more relevant, because what I've been saying for months now, not just me, I'm not tooting my horn. I don't mean to come off like that. But I just want to focus in on the point that what I've been saying, and not just me, but the whole, you will know the negotiations are coming to an end when all these legal cases they've been piling up on him suddenly start magically being dismissed. They've been going on for years, and then all of a sudden the courts step in and say, oh, no, you can't bring these charges. These are ridiculous. And they get thrown out, and they disappear, and the media quits talking about them. And what have we seen? What did we see even before the assassination thing? We saw what? Oh, all of a sudden these courts say, no, these cases are bogus. You can't bring these cases. Supreme Court comes in and says, well, he was president. You can't bring these. And all of a sudden, all these charges and all the media talk about, oh, he's going to go to prison and all the rest of it have just overnight, virtually overnight, magically disappeared. And again, I said for a long time, if you see that happen, the negotiations are coming to a close and he's probably successfully negotiated this. I said sometime back that I think the hang up is, you remember, these people he's negotiating with are bankers at heart. And I believed, and I continue to believe, the hang up was the collateral. These people are absolutely obsessed with bank. You go down to the bank and tell them you want to borrow $20,000. You regular working Joe, you go to your local bank that you've been doing business with for however many years, and you go to your local bank and say, hey, I want to borrow $20,000, $30,000. And I guarantee you, if you don't, they're going to, the first question they're going to ask is, what do you have to put up for collateral? And if you say, well, nothing, I just want you to give me the money, they're going to laugh in your face and run you off. I don't care what your credit score is, none of that. They're going to laugh in your face because they want collateral. I believe this negotiation has been centered on the collateral. Now, in the political sphere, that means blackmail material. That means something they can use. This requires complete conjecture on my part, on your part, because we have no idea what the information is. So we have to use conjecture here. I'm going to use some conjecture here. I suspect the normal form of collateral is probably some weird sex stuff, probably involving children. That's probably, and I'm just, again, pure conjecture. Trump wasn't down with that. He's like, I'm not going to screw kids on video for you. I'm just not. Of course, he's going to theoretically, again, we're pure conjecture here. You can see where Trump would be like, no, I'm good for it. I'm good at my word. I have a track record. You need to give me the presidency and take me at my word that I'm going to do the things you want to do. People were marveled because he was waffling on the abortion thing and he quit mentioning the wall. And of course, more and more support for Israel. Imagine that. And yet the haggling continued. Now, last week, I did my show doing set Boeing policy, get Boeing results on the Trump assassination thing. And I know some of you took issue with that take. My take was to try to just go with what information we did have. Remember, the more we get away from the information we have, the more theorizing, more, not to overuse the word, more conjecture, the more we have to just make up. And that could be anything. You say, well, this was absolutely not, staged. A lot of people are saying that the whole thing was a staged thing. Trump wasn't even shot. He put a blood capsule on his ear or whatever the case. And that may be right. You may be 100% right about that. But the point is, we have nothing, zero, to back that up. We have to get further and further out there. But here's a but now that I think might back that theory up. But you weren't saying that last week. It doesn't bother me to say, yeah, maybe I'm going with the information we have. This is another possibility, because as I said last week, we don't know, and we're never going to know, because they're not going to tell us. This is why we have to theorize and say what is likely. Now, in the vein of theorizing, for those that say the whole thing was staged and faked, that's a, and the reason, hang on, here's what I want to bear down on, the reason. Those who say the entire thing was staged, fake, Trump put a blood capsule or cut his ear, whatever. They say, okay, well, why? Well, because it would give him a boost going to the convention. I disagree with that. I think if that is the case, and it was staged, and it was faked, that's your collateral. You do this fake stage thing, he gets the boost, and all of a sudden the media now has to really tone down, that they don't have to. They get the order to turn down the rhetoric and to begrudgingly say, oh my gosh, this is shocking, and we got to turn down the anti-Trump rhetoric. And he gets all of that. But if, and that's a big if, but if it was staged and faked, and those he's negotiating with have the undeniable proof that it was staged and faked, and he knows it's staged and faked, now they have collateral. Now they have agreed upon a collateral, and things can move forward now. The negotiations, for all practical purposes now, have wrapped up. Again, this is pure theorizing here, because we don't have any information. We have nothing to back that up. I mean, we don't. It's just, we're reasoning, and you could say that's a possibility, and it is a possibility. I don't know. You don't know. But that would be the takeaway. Not because, oh, this will give him, he didn't need a boost. These people are selected. Again, we come back to, none of this is real. We are watching theater here. none of this is real. He doesn't need a boost going into the convention. What, the convention's going to have a surprise and nominate Nikki Haley? No, he didn't need this. This is theater. This is public negotiations. You're just watching the negotiations. People aren't used to that. They don't know what they're looking at. If it was staged and faked, the proof that it's staged and faked and he knew it, that's the collateral. Now, if that's the case, he may or may not have known that people in the audience would get shot and killed as part of the deal. That might have been a surprise. But regardless, if it was staged and faked, and he knew it going in, man, there's you some big collateral. I don't know if that's the case, and I'm not even saying that is the case. But I do absolutely believe it to be correct that what we've been witnessing for some time now is him negotiating for the presidency. And as far as I'm concerned, negotiations look, for all practical purposes, completely wrapped up. I don't need to wait till November unless, you know, something huge happens. I don't need to wait till November to know what the results are going to be. I think the results are pretty much laid out for us. And yeah, you have these people that show up at these rallies and you have these people going on and on like this is all real. You know, for the Trump supporters, I've said for some time, and I think all of you would agree, it's become a personality cult thing. It's like it doesn't matter. I mean, that was really apparent some time ago when the Q stuff started up. It was so outlandish, ridiculous. They had people buying into it. I saw businesses with signs up going, you know, where we go one, we go all. These people buying into the Q, that was the hint that it was turning into a serious personality, a cult following, as it were. And those people, it doesn't matter. There's always going to be, this is part of the 5D chess that's going on to bring down the deep state or whatever. Instead of looking at, well, his book's called The Art of the Deal, maybe he's just making a deal with the so-called deep state. Trump is such a pivotal figure in all of this because for his supporters, it is like a cult following now. And it doesn't matter what he says. He could come out tomorrow at this... I think he could come out tomorrow and say some outlandish thing like we should kill all the firstborn children in the country. And a certain segment, if not most of his ardent supporters, would say that's based in a brilliant idea. He can't be stopped. This is wonderful. On the flip side of it, the Trump derangement syndrome people that have decided he is, you know, Satan himself and he's going to destroy the world or whatever. It's all emotional. It's all a part of this personality cult thing. And none of these people want to accept the fact that, as I've said before, and as all of you know, I'm sure, that the people that they're voting for, the people you're voting for, not the people that are running this. It goes back to the way the media has made the whole focus since the debate debacle on whether or not Biden is fit to run for election against Trump, as though he's not allegedly in charge of the government in the White House now. And they just act like, well, okay, he stepped down. That's because it's pretty obvious he's senile and he's not going to be able to run for re-election. But he's in the office now. But you're not supposed to be worried about that. As I said before, that's a tacit admission that the people you're voting for are not the ones making the decisions. They're not the ones running things. It's in your face. That's just... an observable fact. The fact that nobody's concerned that this dementia, this advanced dementia patient, is supposedly making these decisions, it's all just about whether or not he can run for re-election again. Not competent enough to run for re-election, but he's competent enough to stay in there until next year. When the next big political crisis comes and they're starting to stack up, things are heating up. Israel is continuing to kick anthills over in the Middle East. That, you know, they're, in my opinion, they're continuing to write checks that they're not going to be able to cash because they're counting on Uncle Sam to come to the rescue. And we're supposed to what? All pretend that the dementia patient is going to make this call. Now, circling back to my belief that the Trump negotiations have wrapped up and this is pretty much a done deal as far as him going into office. Biden and Democrats around him have come out and they said, well, who's going to be the candidate? It's going to be Kamala Harris. Really, it's going to be Harris? Remember, she had to drop out of the primary 4 years ago because she couldn't get any traction. Nobody liked this woman. She had like nothing. And yet, you know, she was given the vice presidency because woman of color. That's it. Nobody liked this woman. And now everybody's coming out and saying, yep, she's going to be, we're going to rally behind her. Now, again, the part of the personality cult that thinks Trump is the incarnation of Satan, it won't matter. They'd have continued to support the dementia patient as long as it's not Trump. But most people are not going to go along with Kamala, however the hell you say. I keep wanting to use that vulgar nickname that people use, but we're very professional at Radio Albany. They're going to go along. No, most people are not going to go along, rather, with Harris. Nobody likes this woman. And the fact that they immediately put her out, nope, she's the candidate. I think this again signals that the negotiations are wrapped up. The decision makers have said, okay, we're going to go ahead. We've got collateral. We're going to go ahead. We've made a deal. Trump is going to go in there. He's going to get to hold the seat. And again, people act like all of this is so real. I'm dreading November. And you know, people mean well. They want to cling to hope. And I know when November gets here, I'm going to be talking to normies IRL, bless their heart, and they're going to be like, you're going to be out there, you're going to get down there and vote for Trump, right? It's very important. We got to go vote for Trump. You know, how do you deal with that? You know, like it's all real. You got to play along with the game. Aren't you? You're going to be, hey, you registered to vote. It's very important we get down there and vote for Trump so he can save America and make it great again or whatever. It's all very tight. I just can't even imagine pretending this is all real, suspending belief to the point that pretending all of this is real. It makes sense if the decision's been made, the election for all purposes over, because it doesn't matter. I mean, basically making Kamala Harris, the nominee, is essentially the Democrats' signal from that side that the deal is done. There's no point in putting one of their quote-unquote up-and-rising ones, say Gavin Newsom or someone like that, up there to lose. They don't want to be tainted as the person who lost to Trump. It does make sense to put Harris up there because no one likes her anyway. So no one cares if she's the loser. And of course, always remember in these election things, there's money to be made here. A lot of money is going to change hands. I saw this morning they were talking on the news that, boy, overnight, all of these whatever PACs that I've never heard of, you know, the Empowerment Women of Color Super PAC or whatever the hell, millions of dollars came in overnight, people flooding in to support Kamala Harris. No, they're not. This is payoff money. This is the way they launder these payoffs. You know, they just, oh, it's against the law. They can't just use those. Look, where does the money go then? Well, it has to be donated to charity or something. Mm-hmm. A charity trust. How many people go around and follow where that money ends up? There's money being made here. I guarantee, does anybody think that next year at this time when Kamala Harris is not the president, do you think she's going to have more money than she has today or less? That's laughable. The money is going to be made here. Kamala Harris knows right now, probably, she knows she's just zero chance of getting in there. Like, zilch, zero, nada. This deal has been done. Now, it's possible Team D will, of course, whatever candidate Team D puts forth will be an approved candidate. It just means that there won't be any fraud to tilt it one way or the other, because that's the way elections have always normally worked. You get to choose between candidate R or candidate D. Both are pre-screened, pre-selected by those who are actually running things, and they don't really care. So the need for the fraud is very minimal. I mean, Team D may cheat to try to beat Team R just for their own personal gain. But as far as the actual shot callers, now, I believe that 2016 was a glitch in the system. They underestimated Trump, and he got in there, and they freaked out because they didn't have absolute control over him. Didn't change anything, because, again, the people running things are not the people you're voting for. But that's not the case. It just means there won't be cheat. And nobody's going to vote for Kamala Harris. I mean, they're just not. So, by default, Trump will win. I mean, they're going to cheat for Trump. It doesn't mean they're going to cheat for Kamala Harris. Trump has made a deal with them, so now he can run. And yeah, he'll easily beat Harris. I just can't imagine any of it, you know, pretending that this is all real and getting excited about it. I mean, it's interesting to observe. We're watching the empire fall apart. The corruption is so blatant now. It's undeniable. And watching this, and in that context, it's historical, but watching history take place in real time, when people say nothing ever happens, things are happening right now. These are historical events. You just don't realize it while you're going through it necessarily. But it's something that, you know, years from now, after the American Empire is long gone, whatever, whoever's teaching the history at that time will look back and point at these ridiculous events, and students sitting in university or whatever, in whatever country, they'll be like, how do people like not see that this was theater? This was all ridiculous. But you don't recognize it going through. Now, these people running around pretending it's real. I just enjoy observing it and watching these events take place. But don't ask me to be excited and, oh, I got to be sure and go down and vote for Trump because it's going to make America great or something. Will Biden finish out this term? It depends. It's becoming very ridiculous to leave him in there. And as things are heating up in the world, especially in the Middle East, Israel is really, as I said before, they're writing a whole bunch of checks that they're not going to be able to cash, and those are going to come back really soon. And if things heat up there and they demand that the Americans go fight for them, which we all know they will, and there's nobody in either party going, no, we won't, it's going to be a really hard sell to tell people you're going to have to go fight for Israel with the dementia patient allegedly running things. That's going to be a hard sell. So maybe they'll remove him and put Kamala Harris in there early. And even then, that's a tough sell. Of course, for all their talk about democracy, no one's going to get a vote on whether or not, quote unquote, we should go to the Middle East and fight for Israel. No one, they're not ever going to put that to a vote. This late stage democracy is really becoming increasingly comical in a obviously dark humor sort of way, but it is really becoming comical. How comical is it becoming to pretend that the people actually have a say in the government when anybody with eyes to see can see that they don't? Where is the popular push of the people demanding war on behalf of Israel in the Middle East? There isn't any, and it doesn't matter. And yet everybody is supposed to continue to pretend this is real and play along and say, well, this is the will of the people. The people, you voted for this. When you don't like what the government's doing, they blame you and say, well, you voted for this. If you don't like it, you should vote for somebody else. But who the hell voted for Kamala Harris? Nobody, literally, nobody, not even Democrats voted for her. And yet, if they move the dementia patient out of the way and put her in there in the time being as a placeholder until Trump can ascend to the United States presidential throne, how are you going to sell? Oh, in the meantime, we've got to go fight Israel's fights for them, because after all, they wrote a bunch of checks they can't cover now. We got to go cover them. There's no way they can institute a draft with either the dementia patient or Kamala Harris in occupying the supposed American throne. There's no way they can do that. They're going to have Trump in there to even have a chance of selling a draft to people. But yet, you look at what Israel's doing, I don't see it waiting till next year to come about. So how is that all going to play out? Of course, the answer is these people are not as smart as you think they are. They're not omnipotent. Remember, these are men you're dealing with. They're not omnipotent. They're not just so smart you can't overcome anything that they do. Things are coming to a head, and the timing seems to me to be way off because other people are making decisions that aren't a part of it, and that's going to play a role. Israel's running out there now, and it looks to me that before January 2025, they're going to need the U.S. Golem to come help them cover their checks. I absolutely seeing that happening. And how are you going to sell that to the people to get out there and fight for Israel with the dementia patient or Harris in there? But even putting Trump in there, they can't do that. Well, I guess anything could come about, but they can't technically do that until January. You know, because they're not as clever as they want you to think they are. They kind of have created a mess. They continue to create this mess, and they don't necessarily have the answers for it. If this America's got to go fight for Israel narrative comes to the forefront, that is going to be an impossible sell with Biden or Harris allegedly at the top of that. They've got to have Trump in there. I don't see it. I don't see that coming about, though, that late. I see that coming about very soon, in a matter of perhaps weeks, for sure months, but I don't see it taking till after January 2025. Israel is just continuing to escalate on all fronts. And again, they're writing checks they can't cash. And at the end of the day, decisions are going to be made, and those decisions are not being made by the people that you're going out and voting for. This late stage democracy, it's definitely a high form of very, very dark humor. We'll wrap up on that note. I hope you have a great week. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots program. I've already got that recorded and in the can. It is already ready to go. It's queued up. It is in the file. It is ready to drop. I hope you'll check it out. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson's Orthodox Nationalist for Wednesday is ready to go. Dr. Johnson will be back Thursday with his Daily Nationalist. Always a treat. And I plan to be back here on Friday to wrap your week up with a closing out Daily Nationalist. So I hope you have a good week. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.